I had a message I was going to preach. I was excited about it. I was looking forward to it. And then Pastor says next week he's starting a verse by verse in Mark. So I had to swap it out because it was in Mark. So I don't want to ruin what's going to happen. So let's go to Numbers chapter 16 tonight. I want to try and be a help. Is there anything else, Pastor? Did I leave anything out? We need that. Okay, we're doing all right so far. Okay. Let me grab one of these bottles of water here. This is, if I get a little tongue-tied, forgive me. I'll ask forgiveness in advance. Last Sunday night, I preached for Brother White up in Skyview in Vancouver, and I started a little bit. My mind's working in two languages, and so sometimes I want to say something, and it starts coming out in Spanish, and I got to bite my tongue. And so if I start speaking in gibberish, yeah, you know, forgive me. But we'll get through this here. So I got something here that I gave to our people about 6-7 weeks ago, and it was kind of an end of the year challenge for our folks. And then what I want to do tonight is, this is the first real preaching service for the year, so I want to give it to you as sort of a charge for the year. I wasn't really big on trying to get our people to, you know, we're winding down and we're going to stop and redo things. I pushed them, forget about New Year. We're just going to keep motoring right on through. I'm going to keep going on this, building on this momentum. We got a new church started. We got a lot of people saved in a few days here, and we got a lot of going. I don't want to just hit the stop holidays and now let's try and get moving again and build. No, I want to keep the snowball rolling. And so we gave them this, and they enjoyed it. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes in English. So Numbers chapter 16, and I want to start reading in verse 43. And y'all stand, right? You know, the one thing I always hated was whenever you're preaching and you get comfy. You're there, you're comfy. You're all wondering, should we stand? Should we not? Go ahead and stand. All right, we'll just get into it. Okay, I know your seat was warm, you're good, but yeah, you'll get warm again. I'm going to preach for an hour, so. No. Chapter 16, Numbers, verse 43, and it says, "And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron and returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." And let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for the privilege and opportunity we have to be in your house. It is a wonderful blessing to be here, and we pray that you would use this time. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in every mind and heart that is here. Change us, rebuke us, help us to be better for you. We want you to be pleased with our service. We thank you for a pastor that has got such great vision and drive, that's not slowing down, but is pushing harder and harder to keep going forward for the cause of Christ. And we thank you for giving us a man and the leader that you have. We pray that you would bless our time here. Holy Spirit, guide my tongue, guide my thoughts. Help us to get through this. Use me in a mighty way tonight. And we ask that you take all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen. And so, and I do also want to one more thank you, Chris. Appreciate you leading the singing tonight. I remember about a month and a half ago, something happened. I got home from church early, and Marge had put on the actual service, and here's TJ leading singing. And he looked like a Catholic priest on crack trying blessing everybody. I'm like, what is going on with that? What happened around here? Woo! That was like, man, and I live around that. They're doing that. Oh, man. I was like, help us. Man, told you you're getting at least one, buddy. It's over. Oh, man, I got more where that came from. You just wait. So, no, I want to focus on a verse tonight, on a thought here in verse 48. And it said, and he stood between the dead and the living. And this is an interesting little story right here in Numbers. So much was happening all at once right here. You go to the beginning of the chapter in 16, you find it's the rebellion of Korah and his 250 guys. And now they want to come to Moses and you're taking too much and you've made yourself Lord over all of us and we want to help out. And, you know, they wanted to elevate themselves to a position that God had not put them in. And then you have the rebellion there, and then it gets even more interesting. Then it talks about the earth opening up, and it swallows them whole. You know, there's two men in the Bible. I got thinking about this. There's two men in the Bible, only two, that were translated without dying straight to heaven. But there's 250 here that go straight to hell. Alive, it says. They went down to the pit alive. It's like, woo. And that was just, you know, I was like, wow, that's interesting. It says they went down alive into the pit, and then the earth closed them up. And here's, and it keeps going, and the people start rebelling. And it says, but on the morrow, all the congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses. It's like, how many times are you guys going to do this? I mean, really, how many times are you all going to keep going? Every time you do something against Moses, something bad happens, and God wants to just kill all of you. And when are you going to figure it out? And they never did. And they just kept going and going and going. And so now a plague's coming through. And it says that he says to Aaron, go out. Go out into the congregation. Get incense. Get yourself all ready and get out there and get between them and stop this thing before it keeps going. Because God's on the power path and he's going to kill all of them. And Aaron says, it says, Aaron stood between the dead and the living. And then it says 14,700 besides them that had died about the matter of Korah. But 14,700 people died before Aaron could get out there. And it was a really interesting thought when I came across this and I started really paying attention to things. I know Pastor talks about, for many years when we were growing up, he always talked, he read 20 chapters a day. And I was like, man, I'm not even half the man Pastor is. Whoa. And then when I started getting more and more involved in ministry and getting more and more, I said, you know, if God's using him in this way and he's putting that much time and effort into the Word of God and making it that big of a priority, I need to try to be half the man that he is. And so for many years, I've done 10 chapters a day. And when you start doing that, you start seeing things you didn't see before. You start seeing how some of these stories and some of these things start coming together. You know, you can read the 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, and that'll get you through in 1 year, but you don't see everything that's in there. It doesn't all really gel together. And when you start getting these big portions, and me, I get started going, and then I'm reading a story. So I see the story. I don't want to stop. I finish the story. So sometimes it's not 10. Sometimes it is 15 or 20, and you got to get to the end of the story in a good stopping place. It's like, it's a good book, you know? You don't want to put it down. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? Amen? I mean, are we all awake tonight? I'm supposed to be one half asleep. What are you doing? Oh, man. I'm used to folks sleeping, all right? I mean, second, they're used to going to Mass and all that. So the second I start seeing, you know, I go longer. I don't stop short. I go longer. So if you want to sleep, go right ahead. I got all night. I don't have anywhere else to be, so no. But then you get to this thought, and he stood between the living and the dead, and the dead and the living, and it's, you know, we need some people that are going to want to do that. You get a man like Pastor that's got this big vision, and we're going to need some people that are going to want to get, and I got some big goals this year. I'm on one of those tangents this year where we're knocking on every door in our city. We're doing it in Castillo, on the other side of the river. The side of the river we're on, we're hitting every single one of them, probably a couple hundred thousand doors. And I got 10,000 tracks to start with, so we're ready to go. And my people are looking at me like, Pastor, and I said, you know, and we saw over 700 or 800 people saved this year. And I said, we're going for 2,000 next year in 2018. We're going to see 2,000 people saved. And that's one of some of the things we're going to do. And then we're doing, and I told them, I said, yeah, the other church and pastor had announced when he was there preaching for us, we want to help you get this building going. I said, yeah, but we still got to fill it up, people. We got to do it. It doesn't do any good to have a nice, big, empty place, okay? There's plenty of those around. I'm not interested in that. And I gave my leaders a charge, and I said, I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, and you have a big chance here to impress me. I said, you either are going to impress me, and you guys are going to have things, or things are going to grow, or they're going to maintain, or they're going to be worse than they were, and I'm going to have to come back and start all over again, and that's going to really just, come on, guys. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to come home and clean house. I mean, I want to see you guys do something. And I'm pushing them, and I'm constantly pushing them. When I had my assistant pastor, who's my assistant pastor now, Jesus, and he started, he came out of a ministry that was an aggressive soul winning ministry, and if he could see one person saved a year, he thought if he had one convert a year. I said, what? One a year? What are you doing, man? Yeah, what does that do? I said, how about one a month? Can we get you up to one a month? So he did one a month, and then he was one a month for, you know, and I said, how about one a week? He's like, one a week? I'm like, yeah, one a week. And I said, how about if I start paying you, do you think you could do that like every day? I mean, if you go knock on doors 8 hours a day, every day, you think you can see somebody say at least one person saved every single day? And he's like, Pastor, I'm not so... Now he does. And he's like, that was... And I'm constantly pushing him. Now I'm like, now I want like 10 a week, dude. And I step it up. It's 2018. There's so many churches popping up all over the place. It's driving me up a wall. I mean, Catholic churches are popping. More Catholic churches are popping up. These Pentecostal ones are popping up. These prophecy churches are popping up. And they're everywhere. And now, the harder I go soul winning, and the more we get our tracks out, and the more we push, then the more the JWs are out, and then the more the other ones are out, and the more, and everybody, every church I know, even the Baptist churches, they're all going to this rock music stuff, driving me up a wall. They all want to change. And it's the same story as it's always been, Pastor. It's, well, how are we going to reach the new generation? Same way we always reached them. Amen. Amen? And so I love seeing Pastor get out here and get a vision. And if any of this is going to be realized, this connect, this grow, this serve, this go, if the big goals are going to be realized, it's going to be if some people make some decisions that they're going to be between the dead and the living. Okay? The living are in here. It's great to be part of a moving church, a growing church. You don't like it? There's plenty of dead ones around. I mean, you can go sit in plenty of dead churches. Go find one and then just do one for one service and see how you like it. And then you'd be like, man, this place is just, and I'm like, woo, yeah. It's exciting to be part of a moving church. It's exciting to be part of something that's growing. It's exciting to be part of something that's expanding. It's exciting to be part of a ministry behind a guy that's in his mid-60s and instead of slowing down, relaxing, kind of taking it easy, and yeah, okay, I'm just going to coast into retirement. I said, no, I got bigger buildings. I'm not even going to tell you how much the big one's going to cost, but I got more we're going to do. I got big stuff where it's going to happen. We're going to keep... That's going to be your problem or somebody else's problem. But yeah, but somebody that wants to just keep going, right? I mean, not lethargic, not, well, you know, I've always admired that and loved it about our past. I loved it this morning. Hey, the guy was energetic. He was happy. I don't know if it's because he hadn't eaten for a week and the caffeine was like overdosing him or what, but I love seeing it. I love seeing the fact that he's like, I got stuff we're going to do and we're going to keep doing. And here it is, between the dead and the living. And if we keep, if we're going to be a church and a people and a God, and we want to see and actually see an influence, you actually want to see a change. You actually want to see something happen. Not just be a part of it, sit back and watch. People are going to have to make decisions. Okay, nobody's just going to, you don't just, I'm going to read my Bible. That's, how many of you have already fallen behind? It's day number 7. How many of you have kept up? You should be up to Genesis like 30 or something by now, 40, somewhere in there. How many of you are? Uh-oh. And how many of you are like, oh, I'm going to make it up tomorrow. I mean, I'm reading 40 chapters tomorrow morning. I mean, you know, how many? It's only been a week. Happens. No. It's a decision. You're going to have to decide that you're going to go to bed 20 minutes earlier so that you can get out of bed 20 minutes earlier so that you can actually read your Bible every day. Who's going to decide to be between the living and the dead? Who's going to make the decision? See, you're not going to get motivated to do things for God unless you're in your Bible every day. You're not going to be motivated to see any changes. You're not going to be motivated to make any changes in your life unless you are in this Word every single day. It's not going to happen. You can sit there and think it's going to happen, but you're wrong. It's not. It never will. And that's why the old saying, you keep doing the same thing the same way and expect a new result. Does it ever happen? No. You got to start making some multiplication. And people got to start stepping up. Everybody. You go dead in the living. Imagine Moses. He comes over to his brother and says, they're all dying. The plague is going on. And Aaron does what everybody else does. Man, I'm kind of tired today. Just not feeling it, you know? They don't like us anyways. Yeah, let them die. Who cares? Whoa. No, what did it say? As soon as they saw it happening, they were on their faces before God. And Aaron ran out to go do something about it. How many people, we go to our supper table. Prayer is another big one. And my own table, I don't even pray for a meal anymore. My kids get in a fight over who's going to pray. We come, we sit down, I got Elijah on one side, I got Izzy on the other, and it's a fight. It's whoever can get the words out of their mouth first. And whoever loses is actually mad that they didn't get to pray for the meal. They're 5-2. It is amazing. I love it. How could you not love that? You got kids and they're fighting over who... That's the fight in my house. That is the biggest thing. That will start a brawl between them. And then here's Elijah and he's... and then she's got the claws, you know. Those Peruvians, man, they got tiger's blood. And let me tell you, my little girl got a good dose of it. And don't tick her off. Wow! And the next thing you know, Elijah's wearing cat scratches for the next 3 weeks on his face. And my wife's all embarrassed because, what happened to you? I didn't let Izzy pray. I'm 5-year-olds praying. Pray every night before we go to bed. With both of them. They get to decide who they want to pray with mommy or with daddy. And it's usually whoever didn't spank them before they went to bed because they didn't want to go to bed. So that's... They got in the last minute fight, you know, so. But prayer. This is huge. So many Christians don't pray. They don't pray at all. Real prayer. I'm talking about like all night prayer. When's the last time you spent an hour praying? When's the last time you, and people always constantly talk and they come to me, Pastor, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And I'm like, well, when can I come meet you so we can pray? Oh, I'm so busy. Well, so am I. You know, I mean, you want me to pray for you, but you don't want to meet with me for 20 minutes so I can pray with you. They don't want to put any effort out. I ain't no Catholic priest. I ain't doing that. Okay, I can't one and done it for you. It's not going to have any effect. You've got to want to do it. You've got to want to be in it. I mean, we got so many people, and I'll tell you the same thing I told my people. I said, how many of you actually have family members? Husbands, wives, children, cousins, grandparents, uncles, aunts, immediate family members who are lost, and you can't spend 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day praying for them to get saved? And then you want to talk to me about who's going to do it? If you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to stand between the dead and the living? The dead are the ones dying and going to hell. The living are where? They're in here. They're up in this place. Hey, we're still alive tonight, right? Okay, just making sure. Help us. Dead and the living. Plague was stayed. Imagine Aaron looking at Moses, just saying, you know, man, kind of, you know, not really feeling that great today. It's kind of, you know, maybe we'll just see if he doesn't kill them all today. And just, you know, it's a little under the weather. We'll get to it tomorrow. Whew. But how many of that's their excuse? I can't read my Bible. I don't feel good. I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel good. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel good. I don't want to go soul winning. I don't feel good. I can't go pass out 10 tracks for an hour. I mean, it's not just an hour. I got to get up and I got to get dressed and then I got to drive all the way to the church and then we're going to meet and then we're going to go out and then we're going to drive back to the church and then I got to fellowship and then it's going to take like 2 hours. I mean, I got a sniffle, see? There's a sniffle there. I'm not into it. I'm just glad somebody wasn't sniffling too bad when they knocked on your door. Help us. Sorry. Well, Skip, yes. Are we going to get it? You betcha, buddy. What got into this kid? What's going on? What's in the water down in Peru? You all made me. Grew up here, remember? Quit looking at me like some freak. Like, where did he get all that from? Well, right up in here. From that guy. Saying the same thing he said for 40 years. I just say it louder. Quit looking at me like you've never heard it before. Happens around here every week, last time I checked. And I do check every once in a while. I get in there, you know, on the online service. Don't you use that online service. I'm sniffling, so I'll watch online. If you're old and you're at home and you can't actually see to drive at night, you're good. This doesn't apply to you. This applies to the rest of y'all. Okay? I'm looking right at the camera. I ain't even looking at the crowd that's in here. You're sitting there because you didn't want to come to church. Sick. Don't feel good. You know what? The next time you're up at the hospital and you ain't feeling good, have online service come and make you a visit instead of, you know, calling the church house. Pastor, can you come see me? First ones to always call. Pastor, I'm going to be in hospital for a week. Come see me. You know, they're always the ones, and it's the kind of people, they don't want to go soul winning. They don't ever go soul winning. They don't ever tithe. They don't ever pray. They don't read their Bible. They don't get involved. They don't want to help in children's church. They want to whine about the kids. They want to know why we got all these little brats running around the church all the time. Why do we pay money to bring these kids? I love it. Got to do it. Brother Vestal hit it this morning. Kids, we need to bring the kids. I love the fact that you got a ministry that's going to expand the children's ministry. We need to be a part of that. And those are opportunities to serve. There's opportunities to invest. And those are opportunities to make differences. You know, I was preaching up at Brother White's church last Sunday night. And you know what? I came to Grandview when I was 16. But before that, we were going to another church out in Gresham. Saw a fella there, one of my Sunday school teachers. He's like 78 years old, still going to church. He's moved across town and whatever. So now he goes to Brother White's church. And I knew, saw him. Dressed the same way as always, your cowboy boots, nice pair of slacks that looks like they're like from the 60s or something, I don't know. A shirt, got one of those little cowboy thingies up here, not a tie. And it same winged haircut, it's just white instead of brown, and it's hasn't changed. And he hasn't changed. That's Brother White. I said, I'd known that guy, he was one of my Sunday school teachers. That guy invested in me, and he's sitting there and he's just beside himself. The fact that he invested in a kid, and now he's listening to him preach. All right, that's what you get. That's what you get. Man, that's where it's at. What are you hoping for? You love hearing the stories, and it's at some other church, and yeah, I got all these other, and hearing all these people always talk about how they got invested in, and their Sunday school teacher. Why can't you be one of those? Just saying. I enjoyed it. I love teaching Sunday school. You know, people ask me what school I went to. I said, I didn't go to Bible college. Product of my church. I went to the School of Hard Knocks. I'm on the 50-year plan. I'll be there till I die. Amen. How many of you still in that school too? Help us. We're going for it. But I Sunday school's great. We spend so much of what we do right now in focus on our Sunday school. I got other pastors down in Peru. Been trying to tell them for years, invest in the kids, invest in the Sunday schools. You're going to reach families and you got to do this, you got to do that. Hey, things are different here in Peru. That doesn't work here. You can't do that here. I heard that for years. And I got so sick of it, I said, you know what? It does work. It works everywhere. The Bible's the same everywhere you go. It's just in a different language. The truths are the same. The application's the same. It all works. So I go down there. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's not going to work, Brother John. It's not going to work. It's not going to... You know what they're all doing? They're asking me how to readjust their budgets and redo some things now so that they can start doing what we're doing. They're taking my track. They're copying it. You know, the one that's got the plan of salvation on the back of it. They're investing. Instead of taking those generic free ones that Trick Track and whoever else and from down south, and they all mail them down there, and they just put a stamp on the back with their church name. You can't even read it. It's just, I'm like, how do they even know where this came from? Hey, it's great you're getting the gospel out. Why don't you let them know who gave them the gospel? That way maybe they might trickle in every once in a while. Oh, they're changing their tracks. Couple of them. They want to know how to do outreach. Some of this video you saw this guy doing the soccer ball. I learned that from, that's one of the group that came up in the seminary. And the guy goes in and he's got all the cones and he was professionally trained in all this. And now what he does is he got saved. And so he goes to a park and he'll go up to a park and these concrete fields, you know, they got them. And instead of it being a basketball court, it's a soccer court because we live in the desert. So there's no grass. And so they do that and he'll set up this clinic, all the cones and everything there. And he'll set up this soccer clinic for 1 hour, 1 hour free soccer clinic for the kids. Goes and runs around with the other ones. They go and run around. They pick up all the kids. They bring them into the park there in the neighborhood. And they bring them all in. Since soccer is huge, everybody loves it. They come running in to do this thing. And then the next thing you know, there's, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 kids there. And they're doing this free soccer clinic. And then they have this little skit that they do. And then after that, they'll give them the gospel. And when they give them the gospel, it's not the big, huge group. No, it's when you saw them all broke down in little, tiny groups. And every person takes a little group. And it gives them the gospel clearly. All the kids, I don't know. They look at me and say, well, you know, those kind of methods, and we're not sure about it. Well, I'm sure 400 people got saved in a week, so you tell me if it works or not. I'm happy. Help us. The dead and the living. Aaron didn't even make an excuse. He didn't even try to make an excuse. He was right there beside the man of God. He was on his face with him. He got into work with him. He prayed with them. He got humble before God with them. He got involved with them. He said, go out and do this quickly. And he ran. He didn't even hesitate. He went. He got himself all cleaned up. He did himself holy. And then he went out and he stopped the plague. 14,000 people had already died. How many have already died and gone to hell just because, you know, my mom used to always teach us this whenever we were kids and whatnot. God never counts how many people you get saved, you see saved when during your life. No. He counts all the ones that are in hell that you walked by. Start looking at it like that. Quit seeing how many you actually see saved and start concentrating on how many don't, because I'm tired, I'm lazy, I don't want to do it, I don't feel like doing it. Thank God for the people in my life that invested in my life to do this. When I was in high school, of course, most of you that were here, you know, Brother White had a great investment in my life, but so did Brother Vestal. Love that guy. There was a time I was ticked off at him, but it was my fault. It's my fault. I was in high school. I was a punk little, yeah. But there was times where I was doing the up and flow, up and down, up and down, up and down. I had some good months and some bad months and some good months and some bad months. I remember remember you had your gold van and we had our gold van and we took the little kids out. What was it, like second and third graders out, third, fourth grade, whatever it was. And we took the little boys out every day after school, every Wednesday. Teenagers got on the bus. We loaded up two minivans and went to elementary schools. And these little guys are like third, fourth grade, and they're handing out tracts to the other kids, third or fourth grade at the elementary school. See people saved, did it every week. I had a time in my life where I was at school here, and I was trying to get everything, I was trying to see how big it could get and how good it could get. I was going soul winning almost every day. I remember Pastor used to buy lunch for anybody in high school at the Christian school. He'd buy us lunch every Friday. We had half days on Friday. And he'd take anybody that saw 10 or more people saved during the week, he'd take us out for lunch. And he stopped doing it when like 20 people started showing up for the lunch. You know, it was three or four. Oh, okay, this is cool. And then I think that was like in 2002. You know, he was trying to build this big giant building, trying to raise money. So what did he do? Did he go on big fundraising campaigns? No, he went on big soul-winning campaigns. That's what got it done. Well, guess what? You got some big building projects and some big stuff. Is he looking at you saying, I need more of your money? No, he says, I need more of your time. I want to see you soul winning. I want to see you out handing out some tracts. I want to see more people saved. I want to get God's attention. There's a story in Luke, and Jesus is talking, and all of a sudden he's telling disciples about a story about a time when, hey, there was something where I saw Satan fall like lightning to the ground. What was going on? He's up there, Lucifer, accusing the brethren. And he comes flying back down. Why? Because Jesus sent out 70 people to go heal diseases and cast out devils. They went out soul winning. They were out expanding the gospel and the work. And it got his attention. He's like, wait a minute. What's going on? Something's happening. Something's hurting my cause. Let me go back down there. And he didn't. It didn't say he just kind of floated back to earth. He fell like lightning. Okay, I got to get back in the middle of this. I'm slacking. What do we do with our lives? You know, I'm reminded here in the story of let's turn to it really quick, over here in Deuteronomy. And you get to Deuteronomy in the final chapter. And we're going to just look at this really, really fast. Hey, we came into church to get in, right? Not to get out. You come here to get in, not to get out. I mean, everybody's always in a hurry to get out. You're always in a hurry to get out. We came to get in. That's why you came. So we're here. So Deuteronomy chapter 34. It says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, and under the unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain, and the valley of Jericho, and the city of the palm trees, and unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old. Get this, when he died. 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He wasn't ready to die. He was in physically good shape. He was 100%. He wasn't going blind. He didn't need eyes, you know, glasses or anything. His natural force was not abated. What does that mean? He wasn't losing strength. He wasn't getting weak because of physically. He was as strong as he was the day he started out. But God had to take him. How many Christians are going to get up to the Mount Nebo? They're going to get to the end of their life and they're going to go up to the top of Mount Nebo and they're going to look back and God's going to look. We all remember, some of y'all that are older, I mean, I grew up, you know, hey, you remember those trick tracks? Remember that one, This Was Your Life? How many of y'all remember that one? Yeah? They show you this. And how many Christians are going to get, this was it, this is what you did, and it ain't as much as you really think it was. But there's no need for it. Think about that now. Think about going up to the top at the end of your life and saying, and God's showing you what you could have had. Showing you what you should have had. Showing you what you should have accomplished with your life instead of what you did accomplish. Aaron stood between the dead and the living. He made a choice to get in and to do something, to jump right into it, to make it count. You know, he saved the entire nation from dying. Saved them all. He could have sat back and just watched it happen and said, you know what, Moses, I'm jumping on that train. I'm done, dude. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them murmuring. I'm tired of their garbage. I'm tired of them wanting to kill us and stone us every other day. I'm tired of God providing bread every day and quails every night. And we're eating angels' food, the Bible says. Hey, our clothes aren't getting older. Our shoes aren't, their feet aren't getting sore from walking around for 40 years. And the whole reason they're even in this mess was it was their own fault to begin with. You know, they left Egypt. They went straight to the border. You know that? And then they decided, they were the first 10 spies that went in, or 12 spies that went in. And then they come back and they're like, no, there's big boys over there. We can't do it. And God's like, you know what? You guys, because none of you want to believe me, I just brought you through the Red Sea. You're here. They could have just went in and started taking over. The only reason they were 40 years of punishment was because they wanted to rebel. They didn't want to do it God's way. How many Christians live their lives that way? You know, I was reading a book, very, very old book, by John Rice, Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he says it's very foolish to think that you can do God's work without God's power. And so many people do that. They burn their whole lives out thinking they're doing something, accomplishing something for God. And in the end, if you don't read your Bible, if you're not in this book every single day, you're not doing it God's way and you're not doing it with His power. If you don't have prayer life, I'm talking like a serious prayer life, like you got a list. I had my list. I brought it. It was in my suitcase that got stolen. One of my suitcases got stolen at the airport. And I had my notebooks with all my sermons in it, and I had study notes, and I had one of them was my notebook with my prayer list. And I mean, list. I have a list. And I don't just put on, you know, bless Brother Chris, bless his family, bless his children. No, I mean, I try to get individual needs. I go down to my contact list every single week. I start at the top and I go all the way through my contact list on my phone. Pray for everybody in my contact list. And then I have people in my church and I have all their specific needs. I have their names, their family names, and I got needs for each and every one of them. I mean, I run out of time. There's most nights I don't sleep more than 3 or 4 hours. I can't. I'm too busy. My wife's like, "You're going to burn out." And then every once in a while, I'll take a day where I don't do anything. I'm just... That's my sleep day to catch up on it. But, and that's not trying to boast. That's just the reality. That's what turns your hair gray. Or makes it fall out, whichever one you are. But who's going to take a decision and make a decision to be between the dead and the living? Who's going to stay the plague? There's a plague of sin and there's a plague of death that just... The death it hasn't stopped. It's not going to stop. Not until Jesus comes. Who's going to make it happen? Who's going to step up this year? Who's going to really get into it? Who's going to really take some decisions and take that step forward? I mean, who's going to lean on God? The Bible says in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." He's got that goodness and mercy, and it's just bringing up the rear. It's just right behind you. And it's just pushing you along, and it's helping you. It's sustaining you as you go. And he's out in front on the narrow path with his rod. And he's protecting us. He's providing for us. That rod and that staff. It's comforting us. And then right behind us, he's got goodness and mercy, and it's just sustaining us all the way through. I'm done. Let's all stand. I'll let Pastor do the invitation tonight.
Thank you, Val. So. Nice, your clothes. Let God speak to your heart.